Welcome to Shas Illuminated. Please enjoy the following shiur.
Read you this poem. I wanna somebody. I feel bad that I don't really is supposed to be Omer Davar B'Shem Omer. You're supposed to quote. We're learning. We're like merging two shiurim. I'm merging today. I am running to Yitzi Mendel's wedding, Be'ezus Hashem, and I'm going to tell you about Yitzi Mendel in a few minutes. But I do have to run and be on time. But we're going to merge the Messias Sharm's here with the Musavats. I don't know if we're going to get Messias Sharm inside, but I want to mention that we have that shiur at 2:15, and we'll continue that shiur. But I want to read to the Chevra a poem that one of our guys sent me. Unfortunately, this is bad cheek. I don't remember who sent this poem. Somebody sent it to my wife, who sent it to my son, who showed it to me, and I don't remember who sent it. If we find out who, I will tell you who sent it, if they let me. But I would like to read this poem to the guys, because I think it's remarkably accurate, Chica. Listen to this poem. Keep listening to this poem. It's called "The Boy I Locked Away in the Basement of My Body." So listen to this. "I don't want to die. I'm already dead," said the boy inside of me. "To hear him, I need to silence my mind. He existed before my intelligence drowned him out. I must get into a trance-like state of thoughtlessness to hear what he's saying. If I don't listen to him, he will communicate in other ways, destructive ways. He is not trying to destroy, he's trying to be heard. I know that listening to him is the key to unlocking my potential. I'm not living, I'm surviving. To go beyond, I need to go beneath. Beneath all the layers of protection, protection from pain, I've become a professional protector of pain. How can I connect to the people I love if I cannot connect with the lonely boy inside of me? The boy I neglected and rejected, the boy I drowned out. How can I be holy if the boy is still suffering? Drowned him out with distractions, locked him up in the dark basement of shame. I appear to be very smart, but I'm a fool, a very wise fool, running away from the very one that holds the key to my freedom. Perfectionism, procrastination, addiction, insecurity, loneliness, emptiness, sadness are all symptoms of detachment from the boy. I live in the high tower of my mind. The boy lives in my body. Mind and body separation, past and present disconnection. I foolishly came to believe that I could control him, but he is the one controlling me. He doesn't want to control me. He's desperate for attention, affection, love, and connection. He screams out in pain, but I can't hear him. I'm too busy trying to fix things. I'm too busy trying to heal. If only I realize he's the only way to heal. I think of the boy as weak, dirty, ugly, and dumb. He's a loser. I left him behind to become someone great. Oh, the irony. Oh, what a fool I am. I have been tirelessly running in the wrong direction. Now I wonder, no wonder I don't know where I'm going. I can't feel anything unless I feel everything. But my mind won't let me feel. My mind has become a protective prison. Sitting up high in the tower of my mind, blocked off from my body. Feeling became the enemy. Thoughts became guards I created to block the boy from entering. Angels with fiery swords blocking the entrance to Gan Eden. But I have been fooled because I'm not in Gan Eden. I'm on the other side. I've locked myself out. Trying desperately to get back in, but I can't get in without the key. And the key is the boy I threw away. Time to listen to the boy, to connect my mind and body, past and present, because feeling is healing, and the boy is the key to our freedom." How good. Oh, yeah. How do you hold, Kivali?
Story of our lives.
Story of our lives. What do you hold, Daniel? What?
Yeah,
I like goosebumps when I read that this morning. What do you think, Elia? Resonates, right?
Yeah.
Good to have you back, Chica. First, before we get to maybe Messias Hasharim even, there's a few. First, I wanted to welcome back Akiva back home. Welcome home, Kivali. You represent to me everything beautiful about this place. The honesty, working, we're not afraid. It's a place, I love this place of honesty. It has made a big impact on my own life, this yeshiva. And the honesty, and I look at Akiva as one of the honest guys here. We're fighting to grow, to heal, to get closer to Hashem, to develop just, and it's not like an easy, there's no like exact, there's no like, you know, schools have curriculums. I wish Waterbury could have like a curriculum of growth, of steiging, of healing, like do this. Guys often ask, like, what should I do? And certainly there's things to do and there's schedules to keep and we have to build our schedule. The world of serving Hashem is unique to each person and the plans. How do I get honest? And being honest and working honestly, discussing, finding somebody to speak honestly to. The world's so machshiv, the word therapy. I'm not weighing in. Therapy is a wonderful thing. I'm very machshiv of speaking honestly, like incredibly machshiv of speaking honestly, having a friend we speak honestly with, having people we speak honestly with. I am very, very machshiv of that. So I appreciate Akiva's back home and appreciate a person who has taught me. We've had some like really honest conversations. My mind goes to a Friday night, a few hours, but just in general, I'm thankful you're back. So welcome home, Akiva. I wanna tell the guys that we're going. Some of us here are going to a wedding, to Yitzi Mendel's wedding, and I just really appreciate. I appreciate tremendously Yitzi's family. Yitzi's mother is somebody. We have homes that are available to our friends. Yitzi's mother, if you've been there, great. Some of the chevre here has been there, and some of the guys have never been there. If you've never been there, I advise you to go there. Now, I don't know, you know, you have to be careful. You know, ein reach machnas reach. A guest can bring other guests, but I say with Mrs. Mendel, that home has been really, really open to our chevre, and she's an amazing person who lost her husband. That's no secret to us all that right, that Yitzi's father, Reb Benish Mendel, was nifter years ago. He was nifter. He responded by 9/11 and went down to help Yidden as he did his whole life. And again, I don't want to, his story, he got sick. He got sick at the time and was nifter. He was somebody, his chesed for Yidden was otherworldly. Tremendous Baal chesed. A tremendous Maiki Rabbanan, a tremendous respect for Talmid HaChamim. He was like this with Reb Nasan Zvi Finkel. He was remarkably close. One of the closest people in the world to Reb Nasan Zvi Finkel. He was close to the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He actually was the private like nurse. He was very knowledgeable in medicine as a paramedic, and at one point he was the private like nurse for the Rebbe, for Lubavitcher Rebbe. He was close to other tzaddikim and gedolim as well. Reb Nasan Zvi Finkel's kesher to Reb Benish Mendel was very, very strong. He was somebody who helped our yeshiva a lot. He made parlor meetings in his house for our yeshiva. Was just very, very close to our yeshiva. I always admire in Yitzi the Chassan as an Avasat Torah. That's remarkable. Yitzi remembers Divrei Torah. He's a Talmud of the Rebbe, of Rav Geisler Shlita. And he's somebody who remembers Divrei Torah and knows Divrei Torah, things he heard years ago. It's cool that his father was such a Maiker Rabbanan, respected Talmid HaChamim, cared for Talmid HaChamim, was very, very trusted by Talmid HaChamim, and his son is such a lover of Torah. It doesn't surprise me at all. The Maiki Rabbanan has children, Talmidei Chachamim, yet he's somebody who tremendously learned from Chachamim and values the words of Chachamim, values Divrei Torah tremendously, Yitzi. He has an Avasat Torah, a love of Divrei Torah. He could tell you what was said, when it was said, as it was said. I always admire the Mendel home. People respond all different ways from difficulty and the positivity of that house. Some people go through difficulty and become bitter and become negative and become, they have a certain like, just a bitterness that they give off of people who've been through negative. The Mendels teach the world an entirely different vibe. Here somebody lost their husband, very, very young. And instead of bitterness, that home is like, they're so funny, so full of life, so full of chiyus. Many of our guys have gone there for a good meal, for a good joke, for a good time, for a good game. And just to see people respond to difficulty with chiyus, with energy, with vibrancy, with valuing life, that response. We studied together. We said that Esav and Yaakov both respond to Avraham Avinu's death differently. Esav responds to death in a very, very negative way. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we will die. Esav faces difficulty and he melts. He says, what do I need, Bechaira? And Yaakov buys the Bechaira. It's not just punk. Things in the Torah aren't punked. Yaakov Avinu respond to the death of Avram with more chiyus. He acquired eternity. He actually understood Avram has eternity. And in Misa Sadikim, one can touch and feel eternity to see that things are enduring. Yaakov understood that that which Avram Avinu lived endures is forever. And Yaakov Avinu actually took a difficult thing and bought the Bechaira, got from her, more chiyus, more life. That's what I see in the Mendel family, a difficult thing, and there's more chiyus, more happiness, more energy, more value to life, living life, using life to the fullest. Their home is just so open, so available for people, so uplifting. So I very much appreciate the Mendel home. It's everything's hashkach in the world. This is the first chasna I'm going to since losing my tata, and I feel like the hashkach is Hashem. I feel like there's Ashkacha specifically to go to a wedding of somebody who's taught us all amidst loss, taught us all a Simchas HaChaim, the response to loss. So many people have it good. Mrs. Mandela, I don't know, I could say it. She has in her house once a week for years. We are ladies who are raising children alone meet in her house for years. Here she took a difficulty she went through. She's alone, a mama raising a family. And instead of being bitter, she actually used her situation and people come. I don't know if it's once a week, once in 2 weeks, once in 3 weeks, but for a couple of years now, people meet in her home and she's mechazik nashim, raising their own children. Just the response to difficulty that's so uplifting, that's so beautiful. We have a chiyuv, yidin. We were foreigners. The start of our nation, we were in Egypt, and our story is a story of people who've been foreigners. We've traveled for a long time. We've been in Galus a long time. The Torah's mitzvahs, be good to Geirim, for you were Geirim. It's in our DNA a little bit to be the outsider. It always bothers me. This bothers me to no end. If in this, I'm proud of this yeshiva that a kid can come from a different background, then it's easy to make it. There's no such thing here. A kid comes, I don't care if he comes from Russia. It bothered me. A girl came to my house, to my wife and I, to meet us for Shidduchim. She described us in school that because her parents were Russian, she faced like different difficulty that boils my blood. I don't just think it's mean. I think it's stupid. For a yid not to chap, we've always been the outsider. How dumb. I want my kids to know. My Zayde came here from Czechoslovakia. We were the outsiders. That's who we were. And that's been the story of our people. A person is so not knowledgeable. If they reject the outsider and don't learn to bring in, you don't understand our people. You're like, a person's totally disconnected to the basic of our people. For 2,000 years, we've traveled. We've been the outside. We know what it means. And the Torah's mitzvahs, 36 times, Taisin Kedushin says, 36 times in our Torah Chaim, it says, Avas HaGer. The Ger, don't be such a literalist. It means a convert. But the Torah is saying something to us. It means the outsider. 36 times in the Torah, we're commanded to include the outsider. I love close groups. It's very normal in a yeshiva that there are cliques. If there weren't cliques in the yeshiva, I'd be upset. It means we have no real friendships. There are friendship groups in the yeshiva. That's normal. That's healthy. It should be that way. There's tons of friendship groups. That's great. Of course, nobody's equally friends with 250 people. There's no such thing. So as he has his group, he has his friends. That's healthy. That's good. That's supposed to be that way. When I get upset and what's off is when it's hard to join that friendship group. I watched my son Menachem as a beautiful friendship group. Shlomo Guri, guys here, they're friends, crazy. Akiva Klein was part of this group, Gershi Liff. They have a beautiful friendship group. What was so cool is the whole yeshiva was able to join it. The whole yeshiva gained from the friendship of five. I have seen two types of groups in yeshiva. I have seen a friendship group that's snobby, that's exclusive, that their friendship really, it means usually you don't have. All they have is that nobody else can join. And it excludes others, it puts others down, and I've seen that chill, that's a horrible chill. And I have seen a chill of a group of people that are friends, we're good friends, but others gain, it's so easy to join, so easy to become part. Five guys are friends and 150 guys gain. You can join, you can become part. You're warmed up by that warmth. It's easy to get in, it's easy to become part. Avos HaGer says that a yid is always including the outsider. The healthy friend, you have four friends, they're always bringing a different fifth guy. It's easy, come, join us. We have a group of friends, we're secure in our friendship. We have something so beautiful, so many others come in, get in there, and are involved in this friendship. The healthy friendships warm up the whole yeshiva. I could tell you in that friendship group, it made the whole yeshiva closer, that friendship group. It was just a warmth, and everybody was able to get in there and be part of it and feel the warmth and join. Avram Avinu and Sari Imenu had such a friendship. It's called Achnasas Archim. The whole world came from their friendship. Their warmth and friendship, others were able to get in. Others were able. Two people are close, and a third yid gets in there. That's the friendship of the Torah. Avos HaGer, to love the outsider, to include, to pull in, to be somebody who allows to include. That's a basic 36 times in our Torah. When guys learn by big people, so I like tzaddikim and gedolim. We daven for them three times. They are tzaddikim al chassidim. So I'm always very curious about tzaddikim. I remember a specific bacher came and he learned by a certain tzaddik. So I ask him, what does he speak about a lot? Very important to learn what topic was the tzaddik busy with. What did the tzaddik speak about? What was he busy to plug into? I could tell you with my father that in the last number of years, he was very busy with Shalom Bayis. He was talking about it a lot. So on his mind, he was like busy with it. He was putting out, it's important when you study big people to really like tap into what's this neshama moving towards. Reb Chaim Kanievsky was this big tzaddik who learned all day. His wife said he fancied himself a shadchan. Very fascinating. He was making shidduchim. That's a big zach to learn. He was pulling together couples. He was making shidduchim. My father was very, very busy. Great playing, Aviad. Welcome home. Great playing. I'm in the middle of a rant, middle of talking Avos HaGer, but I have to. They were chanting at the game last night to Aviad. The crowd started chanting. I watched every second of the game. You played incredibly well, and I could tell your points. But at one point, the crowd started chanting. I was like infuriated, but I have to tell you, the crowd started chanting overrated, overrated. So I want to tell you, that's probably the biggest compliment in the world. He's not overrated, it's a lie, but it's a big compliment. They were chanting the crowd overrated. Ezra Shulman learned here years ago, an amazing guy, and we had a game, dorm counselors against varsity. He was one of the best dorm counselors, and the whole yeshiva started cheering, overrated, overrated. I shut down negative chants, I don't like that. And I was reffing the game, and I was very in the game, and I let it go somehow. Shaloi Kedarki, I let it go. afterwards, I apologized to Ezra that I can't believe I let them cheer, that overrated. Like, I was reffing the game. I was very, like, torrid. I let it. He said it's the biggest case. He said, when I hear overrated chants, he said, it energizes me. You're saying overrated means the whole world says you're best. The whole world says I'm the best. Thank you. He said, overrated, they're telling you. So the whole world says you're the best, Aviad, and they're right, you are. It's funny, I told the yeshiva this, the next time he started playing, the whole place started chanting, underrated. The next time... Ezra Shulman taught us when the crowd chants overrated, it's like an amazing compliment. It means like the Gantz adult says you're the best. A tremendous compliment. It's not overrated chant. Isn't that a good call, Martha?
Yeah.
It's not a call, he's right. Overrated is like, basically they're saying, it's so funny they were saying overrated. Aviad's in the league for 3 weeks now. And they're saying overrated. So basically the crowd just said, we all know he's the best already. I was like, wow, I didn't know you know already. Ask him, like, how do you guys know already? But the next game, Ezra Shulman played, he got the guys so annoyed from saying they were chanting underrated.
I remember Ezra chanting along with them.
Overrated, right? Like, let's go. So overrated means Aviad is officially known as the best in the league, and we can declare if it's true. That's what they're saying. That's the masking. That's what it's saying. Yeah, but I wanna. Jacob, we're talking about this command, Avas Hager, to love the outsider, to include the outsider. 36 times in the Torah, Jacob, it says to love the ger. The ger means the convert, but Hashem is saying something. And he means the one who comes from the outside. A yid's commanded 36 times in the Torah. Now I'm saying whenever you meet a tzaddik, it's important to analyze what he talks about a lot. Big people, Reb Yerucham in one place says something about the Torah that this topic is spoken about the most in the Torah. When you study Hashem, what does Hashem talk about? What's he busy with? What's he busy with? If you ever want to read a tzaddik, what does he speak a lot about? People say many things, but what's he busiest with? Somebody goes to Rabbi Silverman Shia, what does he talk about a lot, right? With Snicky, what's he focus on? The Torah 36 times is busy with Avas Hager. It says include the outsider. Don't be so stuck in yourself. Don't be so insecure. Don't be a secure, open person that you can include. Sure, bring in, include. Be a person who brings in the ger, who includes the ger. Our experiences of being a ger ourselves, that's the story of our people. A guy is so out of touch with our history. A guy has to speak more to his father and grandfather if he's mean to the outsider. He's like clueless. I want my kids to know my grandfather, and I tell them about my Zayda, and certainly I want them to know their grandfather. One of the things I want them to know about my father, my parents, they were B'nai Torah when it wasn't popular in the country. And it was even looked at as like a bad and weird thing to learn Torah. To then make fun of somebody who's on the outside when this was the story of our people, of being, not being afraid to be Yechidim, to be Ivriim. That's like the story of our people were Ivriim. To then mock the outsider is a person who's clueless, doesn't know our history, doesn't know what we're about. Avas Hager, bring in, be inclusive. When I see a family like the Chassan tonight, the Mendels, who went through something and brought in other people, they took their own experiences, instead of becoming bitter people, actually became a lighthouse of light and understood people and brought people in. I don't want guys here in the yeshiva just to grow and heal. Every human being, 8 billion people, all have a story. I don't want it just to be we grow and what we went through was useless. Chas v'shalom. We went through something, was teaching us something. Rav Matisyo Solomon in young ages was a yasim. The rest of his life, he was nice to Yisayim and Almanas. He learned something from our story. Our story meant something to him. It taught him something. The rest of his life, before he would go home to make Kiddush in Matas Yo, he would go to a few almanas' house to make Kiddush for them. He knew what it felt like not to be part of the community. He was pulling in Avas Ager, pulling in the outsider, pulling in inclusive. One of my heroes of my life is Rav Gissinger, somebody who was close to my tata, Rav Shlomo Gissinger. He was a Rav in Lakewood. Rav Shlomo, a beautiful person. Rav Gissinger was respected across the world in all circles. The Rosh Hashivas of Lakewood had tremendous respect. Everybody respected him. He was a Talmud Chacham, a beautiful Yid, a brilliant Yid. What I love what he did, his shul was a mix of people. There were Baalei Tshuva, beautiful people. But his standing gave standing to other people. He took his standing, and through him, other people got in and became insiders through him. The basic of a yid is wherever you have social standing, wherever you have strength, wherever you matter, use that platform to include. Avasager, pull in others. Others count. Others are bichlau. Others matter too. I've had times with the basketball team where I load up the van and pack it up, and players, nobody would say it anymore. The players, but before the guys understood the yeshiva, I don't get it. We're the team, but we only have a team for the guy not on the team. Wake up. Include him. He's part. Guys, after games, the team goes out to eat. So guys, am I entitled to a sandwich? You're entitled to the sandwich. We only have a team, so a guy not on the team can get a sandwich. Come on. The team is owed a sandwich. The whole purpose of a team is that the whole school can feel cool. The guy not on the team deserves two sandwiches. More than when guys ask me also, I can get... Like, you're not on the team, you should get four sandwiches. The purpose of a team, we have talents, we have skills, it belongs to us all. It belongs to us all. Good athletics is excellent, is valuable, because it gives people standing, and a guy could give a better good morning. It's such a blessing to be a good athlete. Tremendous blessing. Gives a guy confidence, and it does a lot. It's a beautiful thing. To have a good physical and be able to do. We live in a world of asiyah. It has many things that it matters. But any time that something gives us standing, use the standing to include another, to uplift another, to be better for others. Rashi and Sukkah explains a Gemara that rich people become poor. They lose their money if they don't use their words that the richness gives them. The richness gives a rich man words, because now he could speak, people listen to him. If he doesn't use those words to cheer up people, he's missing the boat, Lagamri. He doesn't understand life. Nothing's by accident. He's a rich man, now he talks, people, what did he say? So use it to give chizuk, use it to give better good mornings. Dvarav nishmaim. His words are listened to. He can give taychacha with those words. He can give good mornings to those words. If he doesn't use it, so he loses the money. That was the purpose. The money was given. We're all given gifts. Yes, really.
Is that that's Gemara?
Yes.
It says
something
like to make someone feel
better. No, it says taychacha there. But I'm saying Rashi says dvarav nishman. His words are listened to, so influence. But I'm just saying, included in that is to say good morning to people.
Should rich people, should they be politically active?
No question. Dvarav Nishman, for sure. Sure, in any which way, in ways, for sure. But that all difference, really, I can't say in what way he should use that Dvarav Nishman, but that's definitely the political arena is one place. Right. Different people are wired a different way. But the Nikuda that his words are listened to, for a person not to be attuned to that and recognize that, it bothers me a lot. When a guy on the team is not a much bigger Makarev, it bothers me. He's like clueless to something. He plays ball, so people are excited about it. And you don't see it, that doesn't, it gave you a sting. Let's go. Be attuned to it. Be awake to it. Live with that. So give good mornings. Your good morning matters. What were you saying, Martin?
No, it's good to have someone who's rich. He's also, someone wants his voice also to be heard with
that. Yeah, every detail that happens to us is by design. There's no side details. They were designed by Hashem. and absorb that too. Part of emunah is to see in situations all the things that are happening are designed by Hashem. When my father was very sick, all my siblings and I were in the hospital for weeks together, and we bonded very beautifully. That was designed by Hashem. Wow. There's nothing like that was happening, and Hashem was doing that. The same Hashem was giving challenges is doing that. My father always... What time is it now?
It says we used to have a group, 6:20.
I got to leave. Malcolm saying... But Nachum just said... I mean, one for Nachum, one overrated chant for Nachum. Let's go.
Overrated.
That means the whole world knows about Nachum's organization and the way he keeps things running here. And you're saying maybe it could debate, maybe another person also matters somewhat. Well, Nachum's saying this is your chaslet. He's saying, Kalish.
I'm going to leave it in the recording.
Chevro, there's going to be a minion for Mincha right now. Have an excellent, excellent day, Rabbi. I better go. Thank you.
I have to be close.
Check out wolfcustom.com.
You have been listening to a shiur from shasilluminated.org. For other shiurim on many topics, or to hear an Iyun shiur on any daf in Shas, including Maror Mekaymus on each shiur, please visit www.shasilluminated.org. To order CDs or for more information, please call 203-312-SHAS. That's 203-312-7427 or email info@shasilluminated.org.